Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Another very, very strange story, and one that we do need to cover, is that Shin Bet official suspends himself after anti-settler remarks. So it is really very, very odd. The Jewish division head steps down temporarily, regrets calling Jewish extremists schmucks, and slamming the IDF for perceived failure to combat settler violence. Again, just such an unpleasant, and I found today that we've had to cover so many very difficult and unpleasant conversations and news stories in Israel. Unfortunately and fortunately, it is our job to do so, to have the difficult conversations and try and understand as much as we can what is happening there. Yisrael Meidad is an educator, columnist, media analyst, and resettler activist. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me on.
So give us the background to the story.
The specific story that you mentioned is that over the past few years, there's been a lot of criticism here in Israel that the so-called Hilt-Youth violence against Arabs, which is a fact, but of course only encompasses, unfortunately, several hundred boys at times, has not been properly dealt with the authorities. We had the Duma case of a firebomb being thrown into a house, and obviously the Shabak, the General Security Services, has been under extreme pressure to find out what's going on. That, however, has at least one limitation. You're supposed to do that lawfully. And the telephone conversations revealed over the weekend, not only was the head of the Jewish division being very derogatory, shall we say, in referring to people, but he actually said to the police officer who was, shall we say, not exactly willing to cooperate him with him, that he doesn't need proof to arrest anybody. He doesn't need a warrant.
Oh.
He can just pick up people. Now, this is a little bit out of the framework. Now, you could look at it as a incident of a one-time basis, but too many times over the past few years, there's been complaints that the Shabak is a rule to itself, and combined on the background of its the head of the service head-to-head butting with Prime Minister Netanyahu, you can now understand why this thing is blown up way out of proportion.
It really is starting to seem that this relationship, well, not only the relationship between the two, but that the Shabak has some real challenges internally. And we're starting to see it in all sorts of different ways.
Well, I don't want to go back to the very early days of the state, but the Shabak has always been criticized both from the left. I could mention Uri Avneri, for example, who was a very vocal critic, to the right wing of simply working outside the normal rule of law. We even have the famous case, and his new book just came out just over a year ago, that suspects that Rudolf Kastner, way back in 1957, was assassinated through the complicity, shall we say, of the Shabak at the time. So the Shabak has had a long, I'd even say, dirty history. Some of it rumors, some of it suspicions, but now when a phone conversation is played on the television and the radio, and you hear the man actually saying things that are illegal, not just sort of not nice or a little bit bending the rule, like putting people in jail cells so the rats can gnaw at them, then you realize that things have got completely out of control, and it's stirring up a lot of public comment.
Shabak, as far, just for my own clarity, Shabak is responsible for the security on the West Bank, in Judea and Samaria, which would include this the activity of settler or settler violence in that region. Is that correct?
That's only part of it. The Shabak is basically similar to something that in the United States we call the FBI.
Yes, yes. No. I get they've got a greater responsibility than that, but I'm talking about specifically that region.
It's supposed to protect Israel's democracy.
Right.
That's what the law says.
Right.
And the interpretation is that terrorism or subversive activity, in other words, not just crime, a crime that would be undermining the state institutions, so to say, are under the province of the Shabak. That includes Jewish and non-Jewish terror. Let me give you another point to consider. The government over the past 2 years has tried to get the Shabak to investigate Arab crime family violence, which has caused hundreds of murders over the past several years, to view it as a terror. And therefore, they could eavesdrop, they can hold people for 2 or 3 days under a court order without lawyers and stuff like that. The Shabak doesn't want to get involved.
It's very, very interesting that the that there is this almost, it's the abuse. It's an abuse of power. How is an organization like the Shabak reined in, given that it operates in seemingly in a along its own rules and with tremendous secrecy?
Well, the Shabak has a legal staff. The legal staff is under the authority of the state attorney general and has to obtain court orders. Sometimes they're done secretly. Many times, in fact, they're done secretly. They will present a judge. Now, the judge, unfortunately, has no way of knowing if the suspicions are in any way based on any sort of relative proof. And you see in that instance, that's just one instance, that the problems begin, because you have to have a trust. You're trusting that your agent is telling the truth. If he's not telling the truth, everything breaks down. And we're seeing the beginning of that cracking, because at this moment in time, not 5 years ago, but today, the Attorney General is very anti-Mr. Netanyahu. And so all the interconnecting links are problematic in themselves. In other words, the chain of command is very weak.
And potentially very self-serving. I do need to leave it there, Yisrael Madad. Thank you for that. Thank you for bringing us that perspective. Yisrael is an educator, columnist, media analyst, and Yesha resettler activist.